For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, it's a morning show presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. David Johnston, Ross Kroll along with you, joined by our man JD. Good morning, sir.
It's an honor to be in with you gentlemen, and when you've got another great one, the one and only, the legend, the iconic Chip Towers from the other end.
AJC's DogNation.com. You got that right. Hey, Chip, good morning.
Good morning. I don't know how to respond to that, JD. You and your introductions. You are the ultimate MC, my friend.
Well, Chip, the Georgia basketball team just beat Florida on the road. Reminds me of a tough loss that Georgia had to Florida at home in hoops back in the 80s when Coach Durham and Norm Sloan had that great rivalry, and you were playing pinball at Papa Joe's.
Now that's going back.
That is going back. So was it Papa Joe's when it was in the little, because it was in two places on Baxter.
Oh, yeah.
They moved down.
Oh, yeah. It was in the little Papa Joe's, the one almost up to the intersection.
Yeah.
And a Florida Baxter fan came Millage. In there popping off, and a couple of our linebackers from back in the day were in there. But Chip, what'd you say? Next thing you know, there were a couple of teeth on your pinball machine.
Yeah, actually, I had some of those white, Tom Cruise-like tennis shoes, and they ended up with some red splattered across them.
I don't think it was – I guess the statute of limitations okay now, but Goldberg used to work the door at the bigger one, and I don't think he was supposed to be doing that. But anyway, I guess we can go ahead and tell it. But we used to always – he was such a nice guy, too. That was the thing. And I think maybe Scott Adams, worked there if I remember correctly, and maybe some of those other guys in that crew.
Well, that place in the Odyssey, like whenever we'd get the paper
Odyssey.
Back then, it was usually just boys being boys stuff. But either Papa Joe's or the Odyssey, those would be the taverns that were named in the paper.
And
now I don't know. Is it the Silver Dollar or something like that?
There's so many places.
Silver Dollar's usually got a good bit of the
Ross is
Ross.
Young,
Ross, so. Young Ross can fill us in on what's going on. So what was that, Ross?
Silver Dollar.
Okay.
Well, there was a place, guys. You'll remember this when I was. This was around. You remember the infamous spring game night? Though this was one of those years with Coach Rick. We had like 18 guys arrested. There was a place called the Classic City Saloon.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, one offseason, we must have had 14 guys arrested in there one spring. And Coach Rick just wound up banning all the guys.
That place, yes. Well, I remember, Scott Howard has told me this story. And it's probably – he might – I don't know if I should – oh, it's fine. So this was back in the day when the – let's see, I guess it would have been – is it the Odyssey across from the Georgia Theater?
Yeah. Then Sky bought it and it became Nowhere.
And then it became a Nowhere bar. I can't remember which it was, but Scott – and there was something going on where, was there, not a pinball machine but a pool table or something up close to the front of the venue – and somebody was leaning on the glass, and it broke.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it came down and I think caught Scott. And like part of his, he was bleeding from it, a little bit from his head or whatever. So they had, I think they had to call an ambulance just to check him out. And Scott said he was sitting at the front door. He was just sitting on the stool at the front door, and he had blood on his head. And some girl walked up and showed him her ID she thought he was the bouncer or something there. So he was like, I think he was like, yeah, go on in. You're fine.
Come on in.
Yeah, you're
it's
good.
All good.
You're good.
Those
just the
days.
Funny stuff that happens at places like that. But anyway, Chip, we could reminisce about Athens all day long, but I know there's a lot of folks that'd be like, what in the heck are these guys talking about?
Well, Chip, I thought your pieces have been just great as they always are in that receiver position. is so interesting because, you know, we knew Godwin was a senior. I was kind of hoping out of now to Holyfield, Hardman, and Ridley that Georgia would get half of those guys back. So there's no doubt, there's no way to sugarcoat it. The receiver position took a big hit. So here's kind of what I've been saying on a way to look at it, because I think you really only need three or four. You get more than that, it's hard for the quarterback to get timing. All right, let's say you got Holloman, that's one. Okay, out of the guys who are in the program, Robertson, Bush, Kiaris Jackson, let's say you get one out of that. All right, you got Tyler Simmons, and then out of the newcomers between Cager and the three freshmen, if one of those guys can make an impact, that's not asking too much, is it? Just one from each of those groupings?
No, I think that's a good way to look at it, and that's kind of the way I look at it, Jeff. I've kind of within my own sphere, you know, of Dog Nation, I'm kind of being viewed as the Pollyanna when it comes to, you know, the wide receiver position. But I do believe that Georgia can cobble together a pretty doggone good group pretty fast out of that. You know, two of those freshmen that are coming in are five stars. You got to think one of those guys is going to be able to, you know, make an impact right away. I mean, you don't earn that rating unless it's not, you know, these analysts believe that as a five-star that you would be able to make an immediate impact. Georgia has two of those guys. I like J.J. Holloman a lot. I mean, I think he's a special kid. He's got everything you need. He's 6'2", 200 pounds at least. Strong guy, can go up and get it. You know, what they're missing is a real burner right now, but they have a burner. Now, listen, Demetrius Robertson, guys, I mean, he is one of the fastest players in college football. That's not faking it. You know, I mean, it's just like the NFL combine. If you put him on a clock, you know, he's going to put a pretty impressive number on there. And I'm still baffled, you know, that he was unable to even come up with one catch as a sophomore last season. But he's just a redshirt junior, and I think you'll see him figure into things. And the guy that I'm hearing probably the most about, who I think you're going to see step in there right away, is Kiaris Jackson. He's a redshirt freshman, but he plays, you know, he kind of specializes in that slot position, and that's in there with, you know, where Mecole Hardman and Akil Crumpton and to some degree Terry Godwin played a lot. I think he's a guy, based on that I can hear, can step in there pretty quickly. And you're right, you know, I think Georgia suffered maybe a little bit last year from trying to get too many guys on the field in that rotation. Technically, you got six guys in the offensive rotation that are running in and out. That's two sets of three receivers. And you don't really need a whole lot more than that. Georgia generally carries eight or nine on the travel roster with them, but a lot of those guys are also contributing on special team. By the way, Jeff, Tyler Simmons is still on side.
And
that's one of the things that he does. And Tyler Simmons, another guy, I'm told, is when it comes to fastest guy on the team, Tyler Simmons is in that conversation. So don't go to sleep on that guy. He averaged 19.2 yards a touch last year, whether it came on a jet sweep or a pass. He can do a little something with the ball when it comes his way as well.
Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com joining us. Did you keep up with the combine this past weekend? What were your thoughts on all of that?
Well, I did a little bit. I mean, you know, we sent Mike Griffith out there. I know y'all had a chance to visit with him. And, you know, that thing is a mind-numbing exercise for me. I mean, it really is, because, you know, when you see a guy like DeAndre Baker, his picture was fine. You know, his statistical combine picture was perfectly fine, but it didn't blow you away. He didn't get anywhere close to the fastest 40. He didn't get anywhere close to the most reps or any of the other testing that they do. But, you know, I saw DeAndre Baker enough to know that, I want that guy, because he's just tough. He's just Miami, Florida tough when it comes to defending the other guys. Now, you know, I'm still disappointed for Georgia on some level that so many of these guys decided to go. I think a lot of them could have benefited from another year, but I also get it nowadays. I mean, it's just a different world that we live in. You know, Elijah Holyfield is probably right when he says he didn't have a whole lot else to prove in college, and maybe he wasn't going to be assured of the number of reps that he wanted or what have you. But I think he definitely could have benefited from another year. And I know Georgia could have definitely benefited from another year from several of these guys.
Well, and that's the thing, too, that with some of these guys, and again, it's fine. I love all four of those guys. I'm thankful for all they did for Georgia. I'll throw a couple things. But when you hear the, I couldn't have benefited more, how about coming back and helping your team win? Okay, because Nick Chubb and Sony Michel certainly did that. And Chip, some of my gang, some of Georgia's former players, you know, when I was a little bit down about all four of those guys going, this is no knock on them. They're doing what's best for them. I'm just going to tell you that the attitude from some of the players who are all very close with Kirby and the like, it's like, yeah, we'd rather have them, but you know what? If they don't want to be here, let them go. We'll be better off in the long run. So that's just a former player's perspective.
Well, and I didn't like Baker's, you know, about face on playing in the Sugar Bowl. And the thing about it, if he was like Elijah Holyfield and he played tailback, you know, I could get it a little bit, but not at defensive back. And that hurt Georgia profoundly. No, I mean, missing those guys was a blow and contributed to Georgia losing the game. Here's the other thing about it, guys, and it's certainly, you know, professional sports is a selfish game, no matter how you put it. But here's the one of the things I always, if I were, you know, counseling these guys or whatever, I would point to Nick Chubb and Sony Michel, and there was a situation, I can't remember exactly where it was. It was over there in the Kennesaw area, where Nick Chubb went to sign autographs. You know, right before the draft of when he came out, the line for autographs with Nick Chubb wrapped completely around that mall and out the door, and it was crazy. Okay,
yep.
And that's not ever going to be the case for DeAndre Baker where it comes to the Georgia people. And that's, you know, look, that's neither here nor there, but that is a bankable commodity,
big time.
Not just right now, but 20 years down the road, you know, when you're trying to do business in the state of Georgia, all those Georgia alums, they remember, you know what, I remember you came back your senior year and you didn't have to do that. And you know what, you know, sit down at the table here and let's do some business, you know. And that's part of it, too. And so I think those guys forget about that sometimes. And look, the money that they're playing for now, I'll never see it in my lifetime. And so it's hard for me to comprehend that, really. But there are some things I think they're leaving on the table when they bolt like that.
100% agree with that. You know, and it's funny, too, you know, on a different level from that, we've got a pitcher, Chip, who I think would be a great story for you, Zach Kristofak. And in his career now, between his wins and saves, he's at, I think, 14 now. He, between either wins or saves, he's beaten Tech three times. He's beaten Alabama. He's beaten Tennessee twice. He's beaten Georgia Southern, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. This guy's hit list, and he's such a great kid. Like David, I always say, you know, he's never going to have to buy himself a beer, another meal in Athens. I mean, when you look at all the guys he's beaten, Auburn, all the guys this guy has beaten in his career. So you're exactly right. And when you can produce, when you can perform, when you show that loyalty to the school, when you are that ultimate ambassador, there's just no price tag on it. I mean, they used to do a deal where they would have different people from different walks of life come in, and I'm sure they still do, and talk to current athletes. And I went for a couple of years and talked to them about the media and the like. And one thing I would bring up, and you guys will agree with this, like if you were an athlete at Georgia, you graduated, did all that, if there are 100 people applying for a job, you're automatically one of the top five resumes, because people would say, wow, yeah, this guy played baseball, this guy played tennis, played football, or this young lady played basketball at Georgia for 4 years. There's somebody I'm going to want to work for my company.
Exactly. Yeah, and that, you know, we forget about it, you know. The college, it is college. It is not the minor leagues, as much as it appears that it is in this day and age, and certainly in SEC football. But it's still the collegiate experience, and which is all about alums and contacts and connections, and that's why you have the fraternity and sorority system such as it is, and it's the same thing with football players. You just think about the reach that gives you, just automatic, the doors that opens for you. And, you know, so I, yeah, we're a little bit old school in that regard. And look, you know, it's like Matthew Stafford and probably DeAndre Baker and some people like that. You know, when you're looking at that first round money, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. You got to go take it while it's there. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these other guys, now that's not the case, you know, for the Elijah Holyfields, the Isaac Nautas, you know, even Mecole Hardman. We'll see, you know, how that turns out. But those guys weren't necessarily, you know, looking at automatic first round money. And they're looking at the type of thing that you want to make them. First, you want to get drafted, then you want to earn a contract, then you want to earn a second contract. And that would still be there if you finished your senior year or not.
Talking with Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com. All right, spring practice will crank up here in a couple of weeks. And, Chip, you're doing, I guess, the position by position. Not that all your articles aren't interesting. They are. But, like, when you're, you know, putting all this together, which position or which, you know, group of players intrigues you the most when you're starting to kind of look ahead to the 2019 season and looking ahead here to spring football?
Well, you can kind of get a guess when you look at the order that I go in. So we're through, seven parts right now. Today is part seven, is the running backs, or tailbacks as they used to be, but they're not
tailbacks.
Tailback
you. Just, ain't running back you. It's tailback you. Herschel played tailback.
What's a tailback?
Yeah, that's right.
Shut up.
Ross just said, what's a tailback?
Down over there, young man. Tailback you, baby.
Yes.
Yeah. But offensive alignments aside, you know, that's the seventh part in the end of my offensive series. We'll transition into special teams for a couple of days, both in kicking and returners, and then we'll get into the defense. The fact that I'm doing defense second, and probably will end with the secondary, tells you kind of the order. I try to build to a crescendo in those things. there are a lot of positions of intrigue, and I started with quarterback, which is I think the least intriguing position, which is not a bad thing for once. You know, yeah. I think Jake Fromm going in as the undisputed leader. Everybody knows who's going to be calling the shots. They kind of knew that anyway, but it's technically sound this year, and I think that's good for Georgia. I love Georgia's offensive line. I really do, and everything starts there. And, we just got through with tight ends, receivers, and now running backs today. And running backs, guys, I mean, you know, a little bit of preview here. It's a little bit precarious from a depth standpoint. And, everybody loves Zeus. I love Zeus. I can't wait to see, what Zeus looks like when he's on the field and healthy. But that's going to be a while still. You're not going to see him in spring practice. I imagine you'll see him running around on the field, but you're not going to see any 11-on-11. You're certainly not going to see any G-Day. And it's going to be the fall, you know, before I'm sure that Ron Corson and his staff, you know, fully release him, you know, sometime in preseason camp. So you can't count on him. You can certainly count on DeAndre Swift, but listen, he dealt with a lot of injury situations last year. Now he had the double groin surgery, that which you didn't know about until later in the year, but he dealt with ankle injuries as well. Anytime you got a guy who plants and cuts like he does, which is otherworldly, you're subjected to lower leg injuries. And then Brian Herrien, who I like a lot, but I mean, I think that's your clear number two guy. You talk about a senior coming back, 6 foot, 210 pounds. A lot of people not realizing this guy's, you know, right on 1,000 yards for his career. He scored 8 touchdowns. He had a touchdown catch against Texas. I think you're going to count on him a lot. These other guys, James Cook has got a foot injury. Kenny McIntosh is coming in, the only signee you missed for the first time in a long time on the five-star best at the position guys. Struck out on both Trey Sanders and the other guy.
John Emery, yeah.
John Emery, who ended up going back to LSU. So that was an unusual miss. All of which is to say Georgia's going to be fine at the position as long as injuries don't sweep in there and give them any trouble. But I do believe it's a little bit more precarious than it's been in recent years from a depth standpoint.
I would agree with that. One other position, of course, it is of great interest, and I think we would all agree –
the one position, and if you want to look, as great as Georgia's been these last 2 years, where clearly Alabama and Clemson have been far superior, is that defensive line. Georgia's been good up there. They've been great. Now, Jordan Davis certainly looks the part. Trayvon Walker's coming in. So if Davis can continue to progress, if Walker can come in and help, to me a big key is going to be, though, you've got those five seniors coming back on the defensive front. So in many ways, if you want to, you know, call it like it is, for these guys who want to go to the NFL, this is their contract year. You know, Tyler Clark was unbelievable in the Rose Bowl. Nobody really made that jump out of that class last year. So to me, a big key for Georgia having great success, you're going to need for Davis to progress, for Walker, and he would be the headliner, to have an impact, and for at least one or two of those seniors to go from just being serviceable to consistent playmaker up front. Now, what do you guys think about that?
Well, you're drilling down on it for sure. And look, here's the thing. The only problem with that, you know, I like what Georgia's done in recruiting this year. But, you know, when you look at those big uglies up front, especially with the two programs that you're talking about, Alabama and Clemson, those aren't freshmen out there running around dominating the game, you know, and that's the key on the defensive line. I thought Georgia might have that in Tyler Clark last year. He just didn't really make the jump that everybody expected, and neither did Julian Rochester and these other guys. Maybe they will as seniors. Georgia needs them to, because, I mean, I love Trayvon Walker and all these five-star guys that you signed, but that's a very, very, very difficult position. Yep. To make an immediate impact in, probably the most difficult on the field, maybe second to offensive line, but I would say defensive line is probably the most difficult to make an immediate impact at, and Georgia's going to have to come through if they're going to win at the highest level, which is Kirby's, you know, stated goal.
And by the way, I agree with that too, and it's easier if you're surrounded by those veterans. I'll tell you another guy who, you know, kind of looking for those silver linings. I thought Devontae Wyatt came on, guys, and I thought he was good in the Sugar Bowl too.
He was. He's that quick sort of gasher that you have. And look, this is going to be another interesting thing, I believe. But listening to Jonathan Ledbetter and some of those other guys at the combine, they expect Georgia to be much more aggressive on defense with Dan Lanning calling the plays. Now, we'll see. You know, as we know, Kirby Smart's always ultimately in charge of that defense. But they say Dan Lanning likes to get after it. And I think Georgia is going to be built in such a way where they can get after it. I mean, you look at Georgia's outside linebacker position and edge rushers. I don't know I've ever seen such a collection of talent in my life, and it may be one of those situations where you're going to have to move some of those guys, because there's no way they can all get on the field as it is now. Georgia has recruited through the roof on outside linebackers, and you're going to have to utilize those guys this year. I think you'll see Georgia really get after it a little bit more on defense.
I will say this, though, Chip, and you and Jeff, you guys tell me if you agree. You know, you used to always – you'd hear the – especially the TV announcers, oh, you know, the Dogs – they don't get, you know, as many sacks as other teams, that kind of thing. But you never really hear the announcers also say Georgia's like the best team in the country and giving up the big play as well on defense. So there is give and take to all that.
No question.
So
yeah,
I want to get to the quarterback with my front four.
Yeah if I could get to the quarterback with three, I'm going to do that.
That's when you're good.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily just sacks, but it's pressures and hurries and that kind of thing.
Uncomfortable.
Exactly. Yes. And Georgia was really, really, really good
at
that.
Yeah.
When that comes back to what Jeff was talking about a little while ago, is those front four that you put out there, when you can put pressure on there with your front four, that just solves every problem that you possibly have. That great point, though. Georgia has been one of the nation's leaders the last 2 years in prevention of big plays, of explosive plays, which are actually a technical term in football. I believe they're 15 yards or more, plays of 15 yards or more, 20 or more yards. I can't remember which one. Georgia, one of the nation's leaders in that regard, and that's a great stat to have on your side.
Yeah, and I'll get our man Dr. Brent Dr. Brent Rollins from Pro Football Focus College, and he can give us the number on that to tell you how good Georgia was at not giving up the explosive play.
Real quick, and I know we got to run to a break here, but guys, I just it's when it comes to recruiting, so much of it is how big and where from. Just look at Georgia's list of five commitments for this next class: 4 from Georgia, 1 from Jacksonville. Jamil Burrows is the shortest guy at 6'3", so everybody between 6'3", 6'5", 6'6". You just look, and when Kirby came in, he talked about getting bigger, and here we go again with this upcoming recruiting class.
Well, so you're saying they're all from Georgia, right? Jeff, you said Jacksonville. That's just South Georgia.
Yeah, South Georgia.
That's coastal Georgia.
Right.
That's
right. Yeah, right.
And that's, beating Florida. And guys, you know, we were talking about the 80s. Hey, but guys like John Brantley, Tommy Thurston, Meat Cleaver Weaver, Mike Weaver, all being from Florida. When Georgia's beating Florida, that opens up more doors. Duh, yeah. Recruiting in the state of Florida.
Mentioning Scott Adams,
another guy from Florida. Yeah.
By the way, it was kind of lost on me. Somebody mentioned the Gym Dogs, the Lady Dogs, and the men's basketball team all won in Gainesville in the last, week and a half?
You got that right.
So I know the Georgia fans are fired up about that, too.
And Jeff, I know there's not much time, but I do want to say this real quick, because I know JD talks about it a lot on his afternoon show. Keith Mitchell winning the on the PGA Tour, I think that's 10 now that have won on the PGA Tour. Just incredible for Hacker and Georgia Bulldogs.
Keith's going to be on with us at 9:30 this morning. And
My goodness gracious, yeah, I'll be tuning in.
Yeah, and
second best guest of the day.
That's that's right. So, by the way, here's the number. 10 different golfers, and we're not counting Patrick Reed.
Hell no.
10 different golfers have won a PGA Tour event that played for Coach Hack for a total of 34 wins, and that includes 2 green jackets. 14 different golfers have won either a PGA Tour event or a web.com event for a total of 54 wins under Coach.
He's the best. He's the best.
That's awesome. Really great. He really is. It's an incredible thing they got going. I'm glad y'all are shedding light on that.
That's
today.
Right. Yep. Well, Chip, so Keith will be along us. Yeah. Thanks so much, Chip. It's always great talking to you. We appreciate it.
Tailback you.
See you, man.
Keep pushing that.
Tailback you.
Tailback you.